Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your presence. I thank you for your spirit. Your word says that your spirit leads us and guides us into all truth. And Lord, I just pray that you would lead us into a deeper truth, Lord, tonight, that you would lead us into a deeper revelation, a deeper vision, a deeper understanding of you and what you want us to do, who we are in you, what your word says, what your promises are for us, Lord, that we would just know more about you. Lord, I just pray that and every heart, myself included, Lord, that we would be good and fertile ground, ready to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord. We open our ears, we open our hearts, Lord. Let them be able to hear, let them be able to comprehend and understand, Lord, your word. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. We submit to your program and not our program, Lord. We just love you. We love your presence. We love your spirit. We welcome you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's turn in our Bibles to 1 Corinthians 3. We do not have the scriptures up, nor do we have a person to do them at this time. But yeah, we can use our Bibles. So 1 Corinthians 3, page 1308. Okay. It's page 1073 in mine. All right, 1 Corinthians 3. Now, this sermon that God put on my heart for tonight, I titled Increase the Weight. Increase the Weight. And this is kind of the basis of what God jumped off or had me launch off of, is 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Dear brothers and sisters, when I was with you, I couldn't talk to you as I would to spiritual people." I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, so it might be a little different than yours. "I had to talk as though you belonged to this world or as though you were infants in the Christian life. I had to feed you with milk, not solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger. And you still aren't ready, for you are still controlled by your sinful nature. You are jealous of one another and quarrel with each other. Doesn't that prove that you are controlled by your sinful nature? Aren't you living like people of the world?" Now, the key thing that leaped out to me was in verse 2. It said, Paul said, "I had to feed you with milk, not with solid food, because you weren't ready for anything stronger." Now, that really leapt out to me because we have to be strong. We have to be strong. The word says to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. But, you know, we don't start out strong. When Jacob was first born, I mean, those of you that are parents or you were once a baby, you know, you weren't born as strong as you are now. You had to grow to get there. You had to develop to get there. And we have to grow to get stronger. There's a saying, if those of you that are on Facebook or I've gotten into health and fitness within the last few years, which is a completely new and revolutionary thing for my life. And there's a saying that always comes up. It says, "Train insane or remain the same." Train insane or remain the same. And in fitness, if you've ever exercised or you know somebody, like I know a lot of people that like to lift weights. You guys know my sister. She competes competitively in like muscle building competitions. Is that every time you exercise, what is the purpose of exercising? It's to be healthier than you were, to be stronger, fitter, faster, thinner, whatever your goal would be. It's to increase the level that you were the time before you exercised. So, for instance, if I want to build muscle or get stronger, I can't use the same 1 pound weight every day and expect to be like Arnold Schwarzenegger. You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't sit there at the gym and sit there with a little 5 pound weight. You're not going to get pumped up that way. You know, you see those guys that are like humongous. They are like lifting these 50-pound humongous things, but they didn't start out that way. They increase the weight. So every day, you know, if when I first started exercising, when I first started doing it, you know, I could barely get through a warm-up. And I would literally cry because I couldn't do it. But the more I did it, the easier it got and the easier it got. And then pretty soon, instead of having to stop after 1 minute, I could stop after 2 minutes. Or I could stop after 3 minutes. And then, but you know, 6 months later, I could do the whole 45 minutes when, you know, 6 months before, I couldn't. If I use the same, I have a 1.5 pound weight, plastic weights that I think were my mom's from like forever ago. If I use that same weight over and over and over, when I first started, it'd be hard. But every day I did it, it would get easier. But if I want to continue to build and get stronger, at some point I have to increase the weight to build more muscle. And there's another saying that says, today's workout will be tomorrow's warm-up. So the more you do, the easier it gets. We aren't meant to stay the same. We're meant to grow. The word says that we're meant to go from glory to glory, always increasing, always developing ourselves. You know, God is, we can never know enough about God. There's always a different facet to him. There's never a limit to the amount that we can get of him. And the word says that we're supposed to become more and more like him. There's never like, oh, I mean, if we became like God, we'd be like, whoosh, like we would just be out of here. And as far as I know, none of us have gone like on a chariot of fire up to heaven, or all of a sudden we're walking with God and nobody saw us ever again. So that means that all of us have room to grow and develop and to get closer to God. And sometimes that means increasing the weight, doing things that we didn't do yesterday, things that may make us more uncomfortable or stretch us a little bit to be able to develop us, to take us to that next level. If I ran a mile or tried to run a mile, I cannot run a mile. If you can, great. That's fantastic. My dream is to someday be able to run a mile. But if I did it for 60 days, you know, by day 60, it'd be no problem. Then it would be time to step it up a notch, maybe go faster, or instead of 1 mile, do 2 miles. Keep developing and keep growing, otherwise you plateau and you just become stagnant and you're the same. Let's go to Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah chapter 17, sorry, excuse me, I think I said 15. Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8. This is what the Lord says. Cursed are those who put their trust in mere humans, who rely on human strength and turn their hearts away from the Lord. They are like stunted shrubs in the desert with no hope for the future. They will live in the barren wilderness in an uninhabited, salty land. But blessed are those who trust in the Lord, who have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They are like trees planted along a riverbank with roots that reach deep into the water. Such trees are not bothered by the heat or worried by long months of drought. Their leaves stay green and they never stop producing fruit. A tree or a bush that doesn't grow, we say, you know, it's stunted. Or a person that doesn't grow or whatever, it's stunted growth. People would always tell me like, oh, don't drink coffee when you're little because it's going to stunt your growth. Not that I ever liked coffee. But, I mean, there's things like, you know, eat your Wheaties so you, like, get big and strong or whatever. If we don't grow, that means there's a problem. We have stunted growth. I have a fish that we got last year at Lexi's birthday party. She had, like, a circus-themed birthday party. And, of course, Sophia won 2 fish. And I was like, oh, fish, yay. And we put them in this little bowl. One died. And we have one that's left there. And it grew. And it's probably like pushing. If it grew anymore, it would get uncomfortable. It wouldn't be able to move around very much. It's a good-sized goldfish. It's lived over a year now, which is pretty amazing. But it's not growing anymore because, you know, if you've known anything about goldfish, they'll grow to the size of the tank that they're in. If I want that fish to grow, I got to get a bigger tank. And it'll grow more. But right now, its growth is stunted because it's staying in the same place, in the same size bowl, and not going anywhere. And that's what happens to us. If we never increase our bowl, maybe put ourselves, you know, stretch ourselves a little bit, put ourselves out there, we don't grow, and we just stay the same. 2 Corinthians 3:18 talks about, you know, going from glory to glory. It says, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. Going from glory to glory. still changing. I like the way the New Living Translation says it. It says, so all of us who have had the veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. More and more. That means it's a process. We have to keep on going, keep on becoming more like him, and not stay the same. Romans 12:2 says, be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And, you know, to me, I was thinking about the word transformation, and sometimes we think, you know, a transformation is like this instantaneous thing. Well, it's not. In the Bible, when Jesus had the transfiguration, when he was there with some of his disciples on the mountain, and all of a sudden, he had this transfiguration, and it says that his face shone like the sun, and he was bright, and it was like this instant thing. And then, you know, whoever it was, I think it was Peter, was like, oh, we're going to build like 3 shelters or whatever, because he didn't know what else to say. He was like, oh my gosh. You know, I've done that, where you're like, you don't know what to say, you just start saying dumb stuff. But I looked up the definition of transfiguration, and it said a complete change or form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state, which is fantastic, okay? Transformation, however, the definition of that says a thorough or dramatic change in form or appearance, which sounds generally similar, right? But continue on in the definition, it says a metamorphosis during the life cycle of an animal. A process by which one figure, expression, or function is converted into another that is equivalent in some important aspect, but is definitely expressed or represented. It's a process, a metamorphosis during the life cycle of a creature. That's transformation. So as we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that means every day we have the opportunity to become more like Jesus, to become stronger, to become better, to build our spirit man up. It's a process. We are all going through our own transformation story, and it takes time. So in the fitness world, they talk about, or weight loss type deal, if you've ever lost weight or gone through some sort of process like that, there are times that it's called a plateau, where you're doing really good and you're seeing a lot of results, and then all of a sudden it's like you hit a brick wall, and it's like, what happened? And you may be doing the same thing, but you're not seeing the results that you once had. And what happened was that your body got used to what you were doing, it acclimated itself, and you no longer see the results. How you get out of that is you have to start doing something different than you were doing before. What worked before, what you were doing before may have worked, but you need to start doing something different to see more change. Change it up, make it harder, do something different, increase the weight, do more reps, whatever it would be. We're meant to go from glory to glory, cycling up. What was it? Whirlwind. You know, that was one of the prophecies, a whirlwind. Last year was the year of the whirlwind. And that was one prophecy that the Lord had given me, that we are cycling around and coming back to once was, but at a different level, at a higher level. But to get to the higher level, that means we have to do some things that we haven't done before, or maybe change it up and do it a little bit differently, not relying on the same old things that we've always done, because at some point, they're not going to work anymore. We're meant to go from glory to glory. And I love how it said in 1 Corinthians, that first scripture, it says, I was giving you milk because you weren't ready for anything stronger. It says that you weren't ready for anything stronger, not that you can't have anything stronger. That means that we can get there to be stronger. Just because you may be drinking milk right now doesn't mean that you can't have steak later on. You just got to keep working at it, and you will. Now, there's a problem if we see on TV those people that they make fun of that are like, 40-year-old virgin type people that are living in the basement of their parents and playing video games all day and like, Mom, bring me some meatloaf or whatever, and like living off of their parents. And, you know, at some point, sometimes we may do that. We may be living off of, living in the spiritual basement of our pastors or our spiritual mentors or whatever, instead of stepping out and doing things on our own, getting ourselves stronger and still drinking milk spiritually, so to speak. Maybe time for us to step it up, eat something that, or do something that we couldn't, you know, a few months before. If what I'm doing is easy or is becoming routine every day, not pushing me at all, not making me feel at all uncomfortable, not making me sweat, so to speak, then it's time to step it up a notch. Time to increase the weight. Time to level up. Train insane or remain the same. Do something different. Push yourself a little bit harder, or it's going to be this, or you're going to stay the same. I love the saying, if you do what you've always done, you'll have what you've always had. To have what you've never had, you have to do what you've never done. So for instance, when I was preparing this, you know, do I want stronger finances or financial increase? Maybe giving 10% doesn't push me anymore. Maybe it's easy, like, oh, sure, you know, and I don't feel it. It doesn't push me. It doesn't stretch me at all. Do I want some, you know, and when they talk about building muscle, they say gains, like getting gains, like it's, you're gaining muscle. Do I want some gains in my financial life? Well, then maybe I should pray and ask God, like, what else do you want me to give? Maybe you want me to give 12% or 15%, or maybe there's people in my life that God wants me to sow into an offering or start giving regularly above my increase, whatever it would be, whatever God would lead me to do. I cannot give God ever. And if he's leading me to do something, and if it's his will, he's telling me to do it, and I obey, he will bless me. He will bless you. He will never tell you to do something because he wants to leave you wanting or in lack. He is always telling us to do something that made us uncomfortable because it's for our good, and he wants us to grow. He wants us to get bigger, to get stronger, to get closer to him. Maybe, you know, maybe you post a lot of scriptures on Facebook or whatever. Like, you know, people do that all the time. I see people posting like little scriptures or inspirational things all the time. And, you know, maybe that's easy for you. You're comfortable with doing that. What about if we stepped it up a notch, increased the weight, and actually sent someone a direct message and shared Jesus with them, or heaven forbid, even invite them to church? You know, take it a step further. Make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable, because being comfortable is not going to get us anywhere. It's not going to get us the change that we want or the results that we want. Doing what's uncomfortable. Do what's uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. For me, for instance, I hate talking on the phone with people. I hate it. Like, I mean, it makes me so uncomfortable. When I would be at work and they're like, you need to call this family member and you need to tell them that this is happening, or I need to call this doctor's office or whatever. I'm like, do you want to call them for me? Like, not that I had any problem with the person. I just didn't like calling people and talking to them on the phone. And I just haven't liked doing that. You know, I don't like, you know, bugging people, so to speak. And I have been put in a situation now where I have to do that every day on a daily basis. And you know what? It's not as bad as I thought it was. But doing what made me uncomfortable, all of a sudden, the more I did it, it started to become easier and it became more natural. And, you know, I'm not talking about an uncomfortable situation like sin-wise. That can become comfortable too if you put yourself in a bad situation. All of a sudden, things that once made you uncomfortable before may not be so uncomfortable. I'm talking about God telling us to do something like, hey, you need to go talk to that coworker over there. Oh, God. Hey, you need to go and talk to that family member that nobody really likes. Oh, my gosh. You know what? The more that we do uncomfortable things, the world isn't going to change by us staying and doing comfortable stuff. We're not going to have revival and all these awesome things. You know, we're not going to see all these things that we've been prophesying about and God is speaking to us if we do nothing and just sit here and talk about it and never become a little bit uncomfortable and stretch ourselves a little bit more and step out a little bit more. It's not going to happen. Oh, I wish I had more money. Well, maybe God wants you to give more. Oh, I wish I was bolder. Well, maybe you should start talking to people, and God is going to increase your boldness as you start to talk to people. I gave a message a few weeks ago, and in it, in a like thing that blew my mind is I had heard Dr. David Jeremiah said, you know, God gave seed to the sower, not seed to the holder. God gave seed to the sower. God's not going to give us more if we just sit here and be comfortable on our butts and not do anything ever. And like Calvin said, you know, just our same old program, same old thing. You know, I'm not talking about just church, like in your life, like same old every day, you know, same old every, you know, never stepping out of the box, never becoming a little bit uncomfortable. God gave seed to the sower. And if I want increase in whatever area of my life is lacking, I need to start sowing into that to get more back. Achieving requires doing. To become good at something, you have to what? Practice. What's the saying? Practice makes perfect. I do not know how to play the violin. I think it's amazing, and it's a beautiful instrument. But I bet you if I practiced for an hour every day, I'd become pretty good at it really quick. We can't have something if we never work towards it. Mitch gave me a guitar, a beautiful left-handed guitar, electric acoustic, that is sitting in our shed collecting dust. A few years ago, he gave it to me so lovingly because I told him, oh, I would love to learn to play the guitar. And I still would. But I can't be mad and like, ah, how come I don't know how to play the guitar like you? Well, did you try to play the guitar? Have you been practicing? Have you been working at it? Oh, well, I wish that, you know, our church looked like their church, or my life looked like their life. Well, are you doing what they're doing? Are you putting in the work like they're putting in the work? Are you actually practicing and working towards your goals? It requires increasing the weight. Maybe you've said the same prayer every day for the same five people every day. I remember we used to have this prayer, and we would say it every night as we were going to bed. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side to light and guard, to rule and guide. Amen. Dear Lord Jesus, I pray for my aunts and my uncles and my cousins. And it was like this same thing. And I remembered it up until like 2 seconds ago. And of course, because I want to say it, I can't remember the whole thing. But I remembered it word for word. And we would say the same prayer and until like forever. And it became like, to me, now I understand, but it was just like one of those things where you just say. And the word says in Matthew 6, 7, and 8, that when you pray, don't babble on and on as the Gentiles do when they think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words over and over again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And I caught myself doing that even now, today, or recently. I started praying, well, I didn't just start, but I pray every time I go to work, and I caught myself saying like the same prayer as I'm driving. It was almost like I would turn the corner and I would be at the same thing, and I'm like, oh, I'm in front of the school, so I better be praying for Mitch now. Like, it just started becoming like this routine, normal, everyday thing, and it was almost like autopilot. Like, I could just keep going and like disconnect and be praying, but be thinking about what I wanted to eat for lunch or like whatever, like not even really engaged anymore. And I got checked and it was like, do you even, one day I was driving to work and it's like this other person popped up into my mind. I'm like, that's random. Like, they're not even on my radar in everyday life. Like, why would I pray for them? It's like, and God checked me. He's like, well, why wouldn't you pray for them? Why don't we increase the weight a little bit, and instead of praying for the same 10 people that we do every day, ask God, God, who do you want me to pray for? Or heaven forbid we start praying for our enemies or the people that we don't like, and instead of like, God, show them how wrong they are, God, bless them in their finances, bless them in their health, bless them in their relationships. Lord, whatever they need in their heart, whatever their dreams are, Lord, start revealing yourself to them. Bless them, Lord, bless them. Increase the weight a little bit. Make ourselves a little bit uncomfortable. I don't like praying for my enemies, just like you don't like praying for my enemies, but or your enemies, but the Bible says to do it. It says to bless those that curse you. Bless those that curse you. Whoo. But you know what? The more you do it, you're going to become stronger because you're going to be flexing those muscles. And as it hurts and it burns, feel the burn because that means it's working. Something is happening. You're stretching yourself. You're doing something that you weren't doing before, and you're going to be stronger. You're going to be stronger because of it. You'll grow. Results require action. To become comfortable in moving in the Spirit, for example, like how Pastor Calvin was praying that, you know, our desire, his desire, my desire is to become obedient and always do whatever the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Like he says, do this, we do it. And, you know, that requires obedience, it requires listening, and it requires doing things that are sometimes uncomfortable. I have been up here many times and it's like, say this. Well, I don't want to. That's weird. I don't want to say that. That sounds weird. People are going to look at me funny. We should be already dismissing for class right now. God, don't you know that? Like, you know? But if we are wanting to be obedient, it requires stepping outside of the box a little bit. I mean, when God told, was it Moses, like, go part the sea? Like, oh, sure, God. Like, that's cool. You know, it required obedience, becoming a little bit uncomfortable. Like, God, you know, if I do this, there's like millions of people behind me that are going to see. Like, it requires a little bit of uncomfortableness or discomfort. That would be a better word. But to become comfortable and moving in the Spirit, and we got to obey and do whatever he says. That is in all of our life. I mean, if we follow the program of what we've always done, then we're going to have what we've always had. And it's not always comfortable to do what God says to do, but it's what's needed. What's comfortable isn't always what's necessary, and what's necessary is not always what's comfortable. They don't always go hand in hand. Sometimes we have to do things that are a little bit uncomfortable, but it's what's needed. The Bible says that we are warriors, that we're in his army. The, you know, Ephesians 6 talks about putting on the whole armor of God so that we can fight. It's a battle. But what do warriors and soldiers do? They train. They go to boot camp. They, you know, it's not just like all of a sudden they get thrown. These things, they have to learn how to use their weapons that they have. They have to exercise. They have to, I mean, like, have you seen Marines or like Navy SEALs and like those people that are like the best of the best? I have never seen, they're ripped. Like, they're just ripped. Like, it's not even an option. Those guys are in good shape because they have trained. They have worked hard. I'm doing an exercise program right now that is with it, the whole people that do it, they're veterans. And not one of them, I'm like, none of you guys need to be here. None of you guys need to be exercising. They're all just like in the best shape. They've got muscles on muscles on muscles because they've trained. They've worked hard. Mark's not here tonight, but he would appreciate this reference. If any of you guys have seen or know the story of Captain America, sorry, it's a comic book reference, but Captain America, before he became Captain America, was a 5'4", 90-pound little bit of nothing. But he had all the heart, and he kept enlisting, and he kept enlisting, and they would reject him. They would look at him and like, you know, some guy said to him, your asthma alone would prevent you from enlisting in the army. You cannot be here. You're too weak. You're too small. You're too sick. We can have intention, but if we don't have ability, if we don't have strength, then we're useless. We're useless. It wasn't until he was transformed and he got, like, you know, Captain America, became Captain America as he is now, that he was able to kick some butt. I mean, you know, a huge 6'2", 250-pound guy over against a 5'4", 90-pound little guy. God wants us strong. He wants us strong. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12, I'm going to read it. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Be strong." But how do we get strong? We train. And how do we build muscle? We increase the weight. We start doing things that make us sweat a little bit, make us a little bit uncomfortable, but in obedience. Whatever God is telling us to do, it's always going to stretch us a little bit. It's always going to hurt a little bit, be a little bit uncomfortable. But it's what's necessary, and that's what makes us grow. David and Goliath, I mean, he knew the power of God. But to everybody else, it looked ridiculous that he went up against Goliath. It looked stupid, foolish, like really? I mean, all the army, all the military guys, everybody else. But David knew the strength of God and the strength that he had on the inside because God was with him. And in 1 Corinthians 3:18, it says, "Stop deceiving yourselves. If you think you are wise by this world's standards, you need to become a fool to be truly wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness to God." We have to do what nobody else will do. We have to do what the world considers crazy or foolish. Oh, give up on that guy. You know, he's a lost cause. He's always been that way. He's always going to be that way. No. Well, stop trying. You know, obviously you're not going to get it or it's not going to happen. No. Just face it, you're at a dead-end job, you're in a dead-end situation, you're stuck, you're sick, all these things. No, we are strong, we are wise, we are blessed, we are healthy. We have to do and move and obey God when nobody else will. I mean, we look at the world around us and this country and everybody, you know, it's all about fear. Like, oh, if so-and-so gets this, I'm moving to Canada or I'm leaving, blah, 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 like whatever. It's like, you know, if we just retreat like everybody else is doing, nothing's going to happen. Nothing is going to happen. We have to do what nobody else is willing to do, what everybody else thinks is crazy. Start praying for the people that are running for office. Start praying for the leaders of this country. Start praying for Congress and for all the people that are corrupt, because there is nobody that God can't reach, and there's no situation that God can't turn around for his glory. And the United States is not a lost cause. God based us, we were based and founded off of biblical principles, and God is not done with the United States. He's not done with this church. He's not done with this community. We are going from glory to glory, circling around to a higher playing field. But that means we got to increase the weight and start doing things that we haven't done before. Obey and do what God says to do, even if it may sound a little bit different or look a little bit different. If we do what we've always done and wondered why we're staying the same or plateaued, it's because it's time to bump it up a little bit. Move forward. Increase. Do what others won't do. When everybody else is retreating, God is calling his church to advance. Advance. When everybody else is talking fear and doom and gloom, God is saying to his church to be bold. To be bold and speak the truth in love. When everybody else is bowing down to the idols around us and settling for compromise and good enough, God is saying stand strong and stand up. It's time to increase the weight and do what makes us uncomfortable until it becomes comfortable. If we do what we've always done, then we'll have what we've always had. We become strong by increasing the weight, and we have to be strong because that's our call and our purpose, is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not stunted because we're basing everything off of our own opinions or looking at man, but it says that those that look to God, they're like trees planted along the riverbank that bear fruit in every season, even when there's drought. They're still producing, they're still growing. Matthew 12:29 says, "For who is powerful enough to enter the house of a strong man like Satan and plunder his goods? Only someone even stronger, someone who could tie him up and then plunder his house." The word says that greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. Satan is in this world, but God in you is stronger than Satan. And every, what did it say? So that you may be able to stand against every wile of the devil. Everyone, for no weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's what the word says. And we have to be strong. Train insane or remain the same. If you're happy with what you have, then do what you've always done. But as for me, I know that God wants us on the increase. I don't want to have what, you know, we had 5 years ago. I don't want to have what we had 6 months ago. I want fresh manna. I want fresh bread. I want new. And whatever that looks like, I don't care as long as it's what God says for us to do. And if we're doing what God says for us to do, then it's going to be good and it's going to be blessed. God wants to increase you. He wants us to increase in every aspect. He wants his church on the rise. What did he say to me a few years back when we were doing the school prayer? My glory is on the rise. He is rising, and we are meant to rise with him. But who is powerful enough to enter the house with strong men like Satan? Only someone even stronger. We have to be strong. We have to be going from glory to glory with him, doing things that stretch us a little bit and make us a little bit uncomfortable, because that is how we build our spirit man. That is how we grow our muscles, is obey, even when it's weird, or it hurts, or it sounds funny. Whatever God is telling us to do, do it, because it's for our good. Hallelujah. Well, that's the message that God had for me tonight, for you, for all of us. I had some checks myself, you know. I mean, the word definitely cuts. That's what it says, that it cuts. Word is a two-edged sword that cuts between joint and marrow, and it definitely does. But you know what? It's for our good, too. It's always for our good. It's always for our good. And the word says that God disciplines those that he loves. If he never corrected us, me and my mom were telling Sophia that the other day, because she's like, what did she say? She's like, Mommy, you're always mean because you spank me. And I'm like, well, I spank you, babe, because I love you. I love you very much. And there are kids, and we've known kids, and we tell her about those, like, you know, their parents, they didn't love them or care about them, and they just let them do whatever they want, and they let them be bad kids. And, you know, when God gives us a spiritual spanking, it's because he loves us and wants us to be better. He wants us to be more like him. Hallelujah. Well, Lord, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for your discipline. And I thank you, Lord, for your word that is sharp and it cuts. But, Lord, you know what? We need it. We want to be more like you. The word says that we're supposed to be more like you, becoming transformed to be more like you, every day more like you. And, Lord, I just pray that you would open our ears and our hearts and our minds, Lord. Open every gate that we have to be more receptive to you, more in tune with you, more sensitive to you. And Lord, help us to obey. Help us, Lord. Help us to obey. Let your voice be heard clearly in us so that we could have a clear decision, Lord, whether we're going to obey you or whether we're not. We just want to hear a clear voice from you, clear vision. And I thank you, Lord, for increase. I thank you, Lord, for increase. Your glory is on the rise. It's on the rise here. It's on the rise in this nation. It's on the rise in your church globally. And we say, Lord, we are yours. We are yours. We are yours. We are yours. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. And your word says that those who love you will do what you say. And Lord, we want to prove our love to you. Your word says that we prove our love to you by our obedience. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we have not, the times that we have looked to ourselves instead of looking to you and stunted our own growth. But Lord, I say right now, no more. No more, Lord. We are yours. We are yours. We are yours. And we love you. And we say, Lord, that we will obey you. This church, we will obey you. Us, we will obey you. We don't want our own program, but your program. Whatever that would look like, we don't care as long as it's obeying you. We will obey you. We just decree and declare our obedience to you. We pledge our allegiance to you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Well,